everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping all the meat and the stories they tell in the process. I'm GB, and of course you got Matt, you also have Jake, and today we are you okay, Jake? Did you get the hair out?
I've tried that before.
I got it.
Did it work for you, Matt, when you tried it? Or no? Nope. Okay, good enough.
Yeah. A lot of blood.
Oh dear. Yeah. Well, hey guys, we're going to be talking about some bloody matches. Because it was a fair amount. Because of course, this is Wednesday. This is where we talk about all the things going on in the world of AEW. But on that topic, before we get into that, we did want to share with everyone that moving forward, Rebooked is going to be one mega show, and it's going to be happening on Wednesday, just like it is today, as it's normally releasing. So nothing changes as far as the Wednesday release goes, but that means that TNA and our WWE episode will all be coming into the one mega show. I'm going to keep saying that until it gets
until it catches on,
one or the other, until they cancel me or it catches on.
Well, one of those is gonna happen very quickly.
Yeah,
so
let you figure out what's
gonna catch on. Mm-hmm. That's what it is, guys. So we're gonna be bringing everything together, partly just because it's simpler and it makes life a lot easier if anyone wants to know. And if you have any questions or anything like that, you can just feel free to ask us in our Discord. Very easy to join up. You can find a link in the description down below. You can ask why. Why would you do this? Why would you take this away from me? Well, now you'll get a longer show, just one on Wednesday. And it's basically the same, just now. Just
or one, maybe one not video. A longer show.
Oh, hey, Jake. Maybe
it'll be the same length.
Sometimes, yes, but with the rate that we do things, where we say like, "Oh, we're gonna make just 45 minutes," and then we end up recording and it's like an hour and 45. We're like, "Where did that other hour go?" Turns out we like yapping about professional wrestling. So, why don't we go ahead and do that? Why don't we yap about some professional wrestling, because so much has happened. This was one of the most wild weeks, just everything of wrestling in quite some time. And it wasn't a WrestleMania just week or SummerSlam or All In. This was just like a series of just a lot of events happening all at once. And we'll start with the one that happened at the end, but it was awesome. And that, of course, is AEW Double or Nothing. Holy crap. That is my reaction. That's all I got. We can elaborate more, but I want to get your guys' reactions because I've been talking too much. Jake, what'd you make of Double or Nothing?
It's a great show. I mean, it was exactly what we were hoping for and wanting out of Double or Nothing this year. And I'm excited to see how the march to All In goes.
Yeah. I like how we're just using different words. You don't want to say the road. So they've already got the road. They need something new. Mm-hmm. The march, the journey, the path. That's a good one. Star Wars took it though. So there were a lot of matches on this card. Some that if you go back and watch our predictions, we did not even talk about because we didn't even know it was going to happen. I think we did talk about Speedball and Okada. I think that was one that we didn't mention, but we didn't have a graphic for. And then they also added a six-man tag, a trios match, that actually was really good, like really freaking good. And it was long.
It was very I think I saw what they were trying to do by maybe giving a buffer between Anarchy and the main.
Yeah.
It just felt that was my only complaint is my standard one that I think the show's a little long.
Yeah.
Even though it's a mega big pay-per-view, there's one or two of those that you probably could have either shortened or eliminated.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying a 2-hour show, but like give me just over 3 is a great wrestling show.
Yeah. I think like I understand the desire to get everyone on the card. And this obviously is outside of the realm of storylines, which is what we cover. But I do want to say this because I think, like, for example, as I go through the matches and we talk about these matches, you're going to notice that we're just going to brush past some and others we're actually going to elaborate on. One of those matches, for example, was the AEW World Tag Team Championship matchup, because that one really did not need to happen. And it's not meant to be like a disrespectful or anything, but it was more like it you could have done the MJF contract signing at Double or Nothing. And I actually think that would have been even better than doing, you know, a match with the Hurt Syndicate. So anyway, that was like my thing, because the trios match was actually really good, and it was a proper display of like the future of AEW. You know what I mean? Like Kyle Fletcher, Konosuke, Takeshita, right? Now Josh Alexander being in there. So like we mentioned, though, we'll brush past these because there's really nothing more to talk about outside of that they were just good matches. But Jake, to that point, right, is that kind of the criticism on your end too? It's just, it was a lot of matches if you had to pick a criticism, or do you not mind it?
When I say like I want a big sandwich and you hand me a big sandwich, but yeah, that much of it is lettuce, I don't want that sandwich. Like I want more meat in the sandwich. I don't want more lettuce in the sandwich. Look, and I'm not knocking lettuce. Enjoy lettuce on a sandwich. Lettuce has all belongs on a sandwich. Not that much of it, though. Like, and
it's too much lettuce.
Yeah. It's too much lettuce. It's too much lettuce. It's an unnecessary amount of lettuce. Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel about like, okay, hey, the lettuce is crisp. It's fresh. It's got some snap to it. But it's lettuce. Like, I mean, it's lettuce. Like, I'm not a rabbit. I'm not thrilled by the prospect of lettuce. So it's like, will I take it? Okay. It just is like, it's, I don't know, man. Like some of these,
but you don't have to
put it just to put it on the sand. Like you don't have to. Yeah. That's but what I don't
to
understand. Side,
to sidetrack like, real fast. I do want to present the bomb. This is the bomb. This is a sandwich in Queens.
That's a sandwich.
That
this and, see, like I would even take some more lettuce there.
You take some more lettuce on the bomb.
I would take a little more lettuce on there, but that's a sandwich.
Yeah.
That's how I want my pay-per-view to look.
Yes. The point being that lettuce in and of itself is not bad, but if I'm having to chomp through unnecessary pieces of lettuce to get to my main ingredients, aka my main events. If I'm looking at my watch and going, like, these guys are good, but I have to sit through this before I get to
Overshadow the sandwich. It'll completely overshadow the sandwich.
One of the best metaphors, and this was so
good. I'm telling you, a good wrestling pay-per-view is like a sandwich.
Really is.
I mean, it really
is.
You need a little lettuce. Yeah.
Sometimes you need that buffer between your mains.
Because when it's just all meat, like, you know, you need a little something in there. You got to have different textures, different flavor palettes. You know, that's what I want.
We can
out
say
of my pay-per-view.
That overall, good.
The thing they doubled the lettuce.
They doubled the meat. And you don't want to double the lettuce. You want to double the meat.
No.
And that's fair.
No.
That's completely fair. There were, though, some surprises. Mark Briscoe versus Ricochet was one of those matches for me that I was like, holy crap, this had no business being as good as it was, but it was, you know, like Mark Briscoe grew hair to fight Ricochet, to spite Ricochet. Like he just grew hair, like a little detail like that was great. But it was a stretcher match, Jake, and it was violent, man. That was a Mark Briscoe was leaking at one point.
Yes, he was. This was like the tomatoes, the red peppers, if you will, of the sandwich. This was very good. I really enjoyed this match a lot better than I thought I would.
Same.
Briscoe got cracked open pretty early, but they had some and got cracked open bad. Like it got pretty gnarly, but you know, that's Mark Briscoe. So, but really the highlight of the whole match to me was him bringing out the bucket of cleaning supplies,
yeah,
and spraying and shining.
Now, hold on,
Ricochet's
a second.
Ball.
Here's
Mr.
the thing.
Clean treatment.
I'm just gonna say that is it's terrible how us bald men are being treated in this world.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a crime.
It's a crime. All right.
It's bigotry.
Just because Mark Briscoe, we are follically challenged. does not mean that we are lesser than you. Okay, just because you can grow a mound of luscious dark hair does not mean that we are lesser than you. How dare you,
you
sir?
You see this shit? It's as smooth as eggs, baby.
Look at that. Look at that.
You don't tell me you don't want to touch that.
Smooth like butter.
This is fresh out the chicken's ass. You love this shit.
And it froze.
Why am I frozen? Perfect moment. That was beautiful. That was a beautiful moment.
I made it do that.
Oh, man. This might be an all-timer. Not going to lie. This might be an all-timer.
Don't get mad because you guys are missing a little lettuce up top. You know what I mean?
Okay. Like, enough with the freaking lettuce. All right. We got enough with the salad food. All right. But yeah.
Not exactly 1979 Harrison Ford over there, Jake. Okay. Let's ease up.
I'm doing all right.
It was a very good match. It was a surprise. I very much enjoyed it. And I think that, like, had my to go back to the critique about the lettuce, this I was worried that it would be too much of like an open-ended match, that it would feel too similar to Anarchy in the Arena, and boy was I wrong when it came to that one. But it was a really good way to do a hardcore match in a show that was going to have an even bigger and crazier hardcore match. If it was just like a street fight, it wouldn't have worked. It being a stretcher was random, but it actually was pretty cool. So yeah, that was a good surprise.
Stretcher matches are kind of hard to pull off anyway, yeah. But they did have fun creative moments.
That was their first ever stretcher match. So I would say, I mean, Matt, have you had the honor of being in a stretcher match? I have not. Personally,
nope. Never even called a stretcher.
What's
match.
The wildest
never
stipulation?
Even been on a stretcher?
No, it's true. I haven't.
That's good, and we want to keep it that way. What's the wild? Have you ever done like a crazy stipulation match?
Nope.
No. Damn. Nope. What's one you would never love been like to do?
I said this. I've always wanted to do a ladder match. I loved that shit growing up as a kid. Yeah, never went like, dude, there's a lot. I was always in pretty straight up matches. I mean, I guess technically I wasn't in it, but I was involved in the casket match with Rusev and Taker.
I am,
but like,
hereby making a proposition to TNA. Okay.
Oh God. Don't.
Guys, you have an opportunity.
They'll do
here.
It. Don't do it.
You,
don't
you
say
have an
it.
Opportunity here to put Matt in X Division Ultimate X match. Okay. Yeah. Just throw him in there. Let him be like
get
a guest entry.
Get that belt off Moose's big agoraphobic ass. Get that thing out.
Come on. We're getting storylines with commentators in 2025. Pat McAfee's freaking lame ass got to go out there and wrestle a match. Come on. Enough.
Nigel. I know we were almost there was a pitch for me for something recently that did not come to fruition. But
we're doing it.
It would have been funny if it did. And then like within the span of a month, all three major shows have their color commentator on a fighting in a pay-per-view match.
That'd be crazy, man. But we got to make it happen.
Trios match. So I'm saying,
dude,
we have a trios match and I'm just going to tag in and tag right back out.
Bro, you could do a team with the Rascals. And then you could be your teammate could be Whiskey and Weed. Done.
Very good.
There it is. You got the content. Speaking of commentators and matches, though, give the flowers to Nigel McGuinness and Daniel Garcia. That was another one of just a good match with a good build, good storyline going into it. So, you know, and the result that we had all expected would happen here, Matt, which was FTR walks away with the win, which is what should have happened, right? You know, I mean, that's kind of the nature of these types of matches. Where does FTR go, though? That's the thing I'm interested in. Where would you like to see them kind of take this? Is it going to go to another feud with another like face tag team, or does it continue forward with Daniel Garcia? What do you think?
I mean, I'm trying to think of who it would be, and like unless because they just turned, so you want to keep them kind of strong. So I don't see them like putting over some up and coming babyface team.
Yeah,
I mean, is there a I feel like there might be a world where, given the kind of entertainment, I don't see this happening too soon, though. So I don't, But given the entertainment value of MJF and the Hurt Syndicate, I could see a babyface or tweener babyface-ish turn for the Hurt Syndicate.
Okay.
Maybe by All In, for example. And then I could see FTR versus Hurt Syndicate with MJF or something along that those lines. Can you imagine like MJF and Stokely Hathaway like going at it on the outside during a tag match between FTR and the Hurt Syndicate? Like, I mean, like you have like,
yeah, like honestly, there really Leo isn't
Rush
anyone.
And Action Andretti.
There you, isn't. I mean, you have a, no.
Kevin Knight and Mike Bailey, if they want to keep going with that. You got Top Flight, I suppose.
Yeah.
You have the Gates of Agony. If yep. you wanted to, you know, they just did that thing with Big Bill and
well, and they did Gates of Agony.
Well, they
Agony
came out
did fight
after...
Hurt Syndicate. Oh. They did already. That was kind of yeah. right, Jake. That,
but I'm saying FTR.
Who, oh, sorry.
You'd want FTR to feud with.
Sorry.
And stuff
but
like
didn't they just come out at the end of that trios match though? At or am I thinking of somebody else?
Who is this?
I thought Gates of Agony came out after one of the matches.
No, you're thinking of Roppongi Vice. Are you thinking of Trent and Rocky? Because they were the only ones who came out for Don Callis in the trios match.
Maybe it wasn't for that one then. I thought that they came out after a match.
But they
Ishii and Tanahashi came out after the
oh yeah, that was that was too. A fun one. That was a fun one actually.
That's what it was. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's definitely ooh, let me fix this here. It's definitely a bit of an interesting one because I don't really know what happens, but I think that what you said is right. I think I could see a world where maybe FTR Hurt Syndicate happens.
And I still think it's Cope and Christian.
That takes Hurt Syndicate that fight Hurt Syndicate.
No, we're talking about FTR.
Sorry. No, because I was thinking of like where they go, where FTR goes. I thought it'd be gold, but you're right. Cope and Edge would make Cage and
Cope
Edge
and
would make a lot of sense, or Cope and Christian would make a lot of sense. Yeah. That would be a good one. I was expecting
I think that's where All In goes.
Yeah, Cope to come out. For Double or Nothing, but I guess you know maybe they save that for like a Collision or something to that effect. Ooh, actually, real fast, Speedball versus Okada.
Great match.
It was good.
That was a great match.
Yeah. What did you like about it, Jake?
I loved the false ending that they had with the three count.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me learn you something about baseball. There is no rule that says the tie goes to the runner. That's not a rule in baseball. Now, in football, simultaneous possession goes to the offense, but there is no, the tie goes to the runner. So that's horse shit. But if it was a, but if it was a timing thing, because they kept talking about, oh, well, he, you know, it was kind of at the same time, so he just decided. They use referee discretion as an excuse for everything, so yeah. I don't know why you didn't just use it there.
True.
But I really loved that moment. I think that's what's been great about a lot of his matches is, like, it's about Okada's matches, is he really gives all these other people a chance to shine and to show that they can keep up with and compete with him. And I think he's done a great job in most of his matches of, you know, showcasing what other people are capable of. I thought he and Speedball had great chemistry. And I thought it was a fantastic match. The crowd was so behind Speedball. They were so, I mean, like there were some moments where I was like, oh, I think he's really going to do it. I think maybe that would be wild.
Which is wild because it's not what I had. Like, I felt that too. And I was like, wait, are they really going to do this? And then they, and when it didn't happen, I wasn't mad. If anything, I was like, oh, thank God Okada won.
Right.
Ooh, okay. What a match, you know, like, but that's how I kind of came off of it. But it was, he's the GOAT, dude. He really is.
It was very good. And I think it gives Speedball some good ammo to like say, hey, I do belong more in the singles picture. And even if it, he does go the route of working with Kevin Knight and tag teams,
yeah,
I think that'll be fine. But I think he can still look and be like, guys, I had a three count on Okada.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, it's fair.
So I really enjoyed it. Thought it was a great match. Great outing for Speedball. Super happy for him.
What did you think of it, Matt?
I thought it was good. I thought it was a good, you know, opportunity. After Speedball debuted, he had that really great three-way that he was in with Kenny and Ricochet for the international title. But to see him get a spotlight single one-on-one championship match and then deliver like that, I'm like, it just made me happy to see it. I thought it was a possibility, but I felt like that Okada holding on to it, because again, I think him and Kenny All In is still very much the story being told and the plan. But I thought they had, to your point, believable moments where you thought it could go the other way. And yeah. So I thought it was great.
Yeah, and that's what you want. You even in a match where you feel like, oh, hey, it's gonna go this route anyway, you at least want to be taken for a ride. And we were definitely taken for a ride with that one. Speaking of rides, let's talk about this before we talk about the finals of the Owen. Anarchy in the freaking arena. I love silliness, and I relish in the wacky, especially in wrestling, because it's fun. This was that on another level that honestly, don't think many people would have the balls to do, because there were a lot of like production like rules that they just shattered watching this show happen. Just the amount of like cameras crossing one another, just chaos all over the place, an absolute just
anarchy
shit show. But that is exactly what it was. It was amazing. Matt, kick us off. What'd you think?
For kind of what I consider, like, it's I'm confounded, because I really hate this kind of wrestling in a way. No.
I know what you're saying.
I'm not really a purist. I'm definitely not like a deathmatch guy, hardcore deathmatch guy. But I'm not like a purist where I only like, you know, one on one within the ropes. But this is almost on paper so silly and over the top for me. But this was so much goddamn fun, and this is a watershed example of, because in a lot of way the three major companies and any TV wrestling company talk about like we're an alternative, but we all to WWE and stuff, but they all do the same thing.
Yeah,
they have characters wrestling, and even if it's a loose one, there's a storyline they're in. But a match like this is one of those true watershed. This is an alternative product. This is something TNA wouldn't do, because we don't have the production level, like with all the different cameras and moves, so we couldn't do that. WWE doesn't want to do that content wise with all the kind of wild violent stuff, and maybe a little like over the exploding table kind of spots are a little bit more like grungy and not clean enough looking for them. Yeah. So this is like a prime example of, we are an alternative. You will not see wrestling like this at this scale anywhere else. And like, just the idea, like, it's so hard to do that with the live, but like the idea of people fighting in four different places at one time and having the little four split screen
that was so cool, funny
and interesting and unique. Yeah. And yeah, all the dude, see a swerve coming out on the thing. And you know what? My highlight of the match, it's real dumb, but I give them credit for really going for it, was when I believe it was Claudio, Swerve, and Hobbs were fighting in front of the stage, the swing on the floor into the speaker.
Yeah. That was a good moment.
And then the tackle into the road cases.
Yeah.
Which were clearly particle board / cardboard, but they, you know what? They painted them and everything very, they looked convincing from afar.
Yep.
Like it was the speaker looked like a legit speaker.
Whoever in AEW's art department Well done. Well done. That
the
was...
minute you hit them, they were clearly fake, but they looked good. For, yeah. Like they didn't just put,
I believed
like,
it the whole time
box,
that it was there. You know I was like, I mean? Oh, it looked shiny. It looked like it belonged there. I was really convinced. I had no idea. And then when I saw it break, it's like, oh, that's just plywood, but that's good.
And here, and here's the other thing. And this will be the end of my praise for this silly wrestling match that was awesome. You can tell who the audience is.
Yeah.
There's not kids, because the minute that Kenny Omega demanded that they play a song that is only known for wrestling from 2001, the entire arena started going, let the bodies hit the floor. Like, that's... Nobody remembers that song except wrestling fans who watch the WWF vignettes.
I will say,
tell you,
that's the only reason I know that fucking song.
I haven't heard that song that much since my sophomore year in high school.
That's what I'm saying.
When it came out, listen, it was all over the radio station.
It was their big breakout hit. For sure.
It was their only break. Also, I could not name a single other Drowning Pool song.
I've sang that song in karaoke for years. So that's also like, that song's very like, I hear it. It's weird. I don't want to say I hear it all the time, but I hear it. So but I know what you're saying though. I know what you're saying because it's a very specific thing that you were looking for in that moment. And they understood it, which was,
to that point though,
yeah,
even if it's not that you knew it from wrestling like me, because that I assume that's kind of how everybody
it's fair.
it's this age group, it's our age group, 30 somethings,
yeah,
who are like, oh, I know this freaking bop, you know what I mean? It's not 12 year olds, it's not 15 year olds, you know, so you can tell who a majority of that crowd and the people watching it. So it gives you an idea of who they're appealing to.
I want the people who are watching this in our comments below, give me your top three songs that you would play during Anarchy in the Arena.
That's a good one.
I want to see your top three songs you would play during Anarchy in the Arena.
Man, there's some
like a prayer.
Okay,
like a prayer would be online. Yeah.
There's some good ones. I'm trying to think of some right now. A couple Linkin Park songs for me. Can go in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Faint would be really good.
Rolling Stones, Street Fight, G7.
Yeah, that there.
Dude, you hit G8. So if you like Pina Coladas, would be my song.
If you like Pina Coladas, okay. What about for you, Jake? What would be your song? You have one off the top of your head?
Oh my gosh. Last Resort by Papa Roach.
You see, that's a good one. Or Limp Bizkit Break Stuff. That's always
Give me some to break.
That'd be a
great one.
Tony Khan, brother, if you do not get Break Stuff for Anarchy Arena for the next one, because now that's the thing. I'm gonna say that's what I want now. If you do Anarchy in the Arena, you better play some good shit. You know,
and you better drop the playlist on Spotify the same night. The That's all
exactly.
I'm saying.
Dude, there's so many opportunities here. I really thought that was a really cool transformative idea.
Bulls on
idea.
Parade?
Bulls
Dude,
on
like,
Parade,
there's a,
bro.
Ooh,
Rage, I don't know if Rage would ever...
Yeah, a couple of good ones.
I don't know if Rage would ever co-sign on something like that. Though,
no, but
maybe they went for AEW.
Maybe for AEW. Maybe they might,
AEW, they might.
Yeah, it was awesome. Jake, do you have anything else you wanted to say on Anarchy? I didn't know if you got a chance to speak.
You what my favorite spot was, my favorite moment was Willow Nightingale beating shit out of everybody in the middle of the ring. I mean, dropping everybody. Yeah. I loved that. Yeah. That was honestly my favorite part of the whole thing.
You know what was great about that? Because I was watching it with my friend Lorena and my wife, because they were just like there and I had it on. And the whole time they were seeing Willow and Marina shake it up and fight, they were like, oh, it kind of sucks that the women are just like fighting the women. Like, it'd be kind of cool to see the women and the men kind of like fight with one another. And mind you, they don't watch wrestling. So this is them saying that. And then Marina jumped on and then started fighting. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, like that. And then Willow's moment happened. And then they were like, this is amazing. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Best moment ever. And it's like that. It's those things, you know, like I don't
it allows you to do that kind of stuff that you don't see that often. And just like it's, you know, that kind of match just really turns off everyone. It just really allows everyone to live in the suspension of disbelief that you're supposed to have when you're watching wrestling. So I think that allowed for something like that to happen because of its match type, and it was great. I enjoyed it.
And we got some storyline conclusions there, right? Kenny and Bucks, or Kenny and Swerve, managed to get their moment with the Bucks, who, by the way, the founding fathers. It's so good.
I'm pretending that they're just giant Hamilton fans.
Sure. I thought that was so funny. And again, it's the juxtaposition of all the different things that happened in this match. But one consistent throughout was that the Bucks were dressed like douchebags the whole time. And it was so funny. So like every time I saw them, I couldn't help but laugh. But then they do something crazy. And then you're like, oh, that's amazing. But they still look like douchebags in like old timey garb. It was so good. So yeah, Anarchy in the Arena, 10 out of 10. I went back and watched it a second time. Like, that's how much fun I had with it. It was awesome. That takes us to the bookends of this show, which we had said was the thing we wanted to see happen. Yeah, the bread of this very, very delicious, sometimes a little filled with lettuce, but overall very delicious sandwich. Mm-hmm. Let us start first.
I don't need sprouts. Don't put sprouts on my sandwich. Well, what is the point of sprouts? Sorry.
Yeah. Agreed. To be fair, Double or Nothing was more akin to the Tracy Jordan meat machine. Because meat, it was the new bread.
It is the the new bread, yeah.
That was the meat of the show to me. That was the story meat were those Owen matches. So. Yeah,
there was some good story meat there. Let's start with the first bit of meat, and we'll talk about...
It was the Whoopi Goldberg meat machine, though, as it turned out.
Oh, that's right. It got
changed. Go watch 30 Rock if you haven't watched 30 Rock. It's amazing.
Mercedes Moné, Jamie Hayter, this matchup. You know what's funny? I got to finish that show. I started and never finished it.
Oh,
I have to.
My God.
But yeah, so, you know, this matchup, excellent way to start off the pay-per-view. I was wondering if there'd be funny business. We had talked about the potential for shenanigans. That didn't happen. This was like a flat-out match with a surprise roll-up finish, which was, I think, the best conclusion for this, given both of the women that were involved. Do you feel like, though, coming out of this, it continues to lend credence to our story, Jake, or our theory that Mercedes goes into All In not with Moné, but Pone instead?
Mm-hmm. I think it has to. I mean,
do you think it has to, or do you think does this result and what happened tell you that this could be the direction that they're going in, or do you feel like maybe it is just straight up the TBS champion is going to fight for the world title?
I honestly don't know. I don't know what direction that they're ultimately going to take. I mean,
because for me, it felt like I don't think they are.
Are going to take the TBS title off?
Yeah,
of them?
I don't think so. I think she's going to.
I don't either. And I don't know. I mean,
I'm with you.
What do you do then with the TBS title? Is she going to have both of them?
It feels like it's locked up then until All In, which kind of sucks.
Right, which does suck. Like, because for the thousandth time, she doesn't need it. She does not need it.
Somebody else could be getting a rub and getting a story out of that championship.
Yes.
I still want to believe that it could happen. I maybe not the way that we thought it would, where like Jamie kind of gets cheated out of it and then she's able to be like, I had you, let me get another crack or something like that. Maybe it comes in a BR or battle royale.
I mean, it feels like they're just going to go kind of the typical route of like, I've held this title longer than anybody else. And so that's why I'm a threat to the women's world championship. I don't know. That just feels like we've been down that road 100 times with 1,000 different stories.
Yeah.
And I think if you do something else, something different, like to me, a desperate Mercedes is more dangerous than a confident Mercedes.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see. That story is more interesting to me than, because it's not like, you know, it's not like Tony hasn't faced her fair share of threats. She has, like, so give me something different. Like, just instead of just the same, like, well, she's the boss, so she has all the titles. Like, show me some kind of, some more nuance with this character other than that. Who is Mercedes Moné when she does not have a title?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That's a good, that definitely is like what we want or what we're hoping to see happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we also did have Toni Storm face off against Mira Shirakawa. Not much came from that. I thought maybe Mariah May. No, it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. But I had immediately thought, yeah, and I immediately thought, man, you know, like Mina actually, it could be pretty cool to see Mina maybe take the TBS title off of someone, like, so that they can, like, establish her early on. I thought maybe a Jamie Hayter, Mina Shirakawa at All In would be pretty sick, you know, like. But I guess we'll have to see as well, right? There could very well be like a tournament or a battle royale or some kind of matchup, like some kind of eliminator matchup that determines it. So it's not like it's completely like they'll need stuff for TV. So it's not completely out of the possibility. Sure. But yeah, Matt, anything you wanted to add on for the match overall?
No, it was a really good match. Good way to start off the show. I'm glad they bookended the shows with these matches.
Yeah, made them feel really important.
And given just the story just was stronger with Hangman. Like you could have done it, flip-flopped it, but just the story was stronger with those guys anyway, in addition to the match we're about to talk about. But, like, so I thought it was a great way to start the show, and the crowd was with it. The energy was good. And,
That roll up at the end, though. Oh boy, I thought Jamie got a conk right on her head because it was like she was like weird on the roll up, and it looked like she had her head on the ground. But they got there.
That looked nasty.
That looked like the finisher. Like, oh god,
that's a small package finisher. Driver, baby.
Yeah, you know, the small package driver. But that takes us to how it all ended. Oh boy, it ended with a banger. Hangman Adam Page, Will Ospreay, winner faces Moxley for the title at All In. The question was whether or not this was going to be Hangman's redemption or Will Ospreay's ascension. They were very good about making that clear, which I really liked. I think that was exactly what the story needed. But boy, oh boy, I went back and I watched our previous rebook when we talked about it, and we were so we basically were like, Will Ospreay is going to be headlining All In, and we were so like bought in on it. And Jake, that did not happen. Hangman Adam Page won. But before we talk about the story, let's talk about the match. What'd you make of it? What'd you think of the match overall?
I mean, again, the match was perfect. It was exactly what we needed it to be. We needed these two men who are giving their everything, putting everything on the line for an opportunity, you know, not a title, an opportunity at the title. And it was a match of the year candidate. I mean, it really was. It was because they not only was the action in the ring great, but the storytelling within the ring, within the match, was great too. And it, like, it just, it was exactly what we wanted it to be. It was exactly what we needed it to be. This show of respect after the match was huge, because I still feel like after this, Ospreay is still, I think, going to be involved somehow in the title picture at All In. I don't necessarily mean like a competitor in the match.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's going to get involved in some capacity. I feel like a lot of people are. So I just, like, this was great. You know, I remember when we first started this show, one of the things that we talked about is predictable bad.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't think so. And we said no. And this is another one of those examples. Like, maybe it wasn't as predictable as, like, sure, as plenty of other things that we've seen. But, like, we kind of thought, like, it just seems like it's going toward Hangman. Hangman's the better story. Put someone like Ospreay in his path to really help build him up even more. And that's what they did. And then to get that handshake from Ospreay afterwards, like saying, all right, you're the man, go do it. I mean, it's great. Yeah. It's exactly what we wanted. And they, and I have to commend AEW for giving us what we wanted.
Yeah.
And not just because we wanted it, but because it best suited the story. So, I mean, I have nothing to, you know.
Yeah, no.
A-plus match. I don't know what else to say.
There were a few things for me in the match, Matt, that I really liked. For example, one of the things that that Ospreay said to Hangman is, if I can beat you, then I know I can beat Mox, right? And I like that, because Mox and Hangman have very similar-ish styles in that they're both brutish attackers. Like, and I thought that it was really cool how, like, they highlighted that with Hangman. Like, there would be like, Ospreay would do like boom boom, all this like crazy shit, blah, 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 and then I don't know where Hangman just go blah, clock with a forearm, and then he's on the ground. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's almost as if they've built Hangman into this monster, and they've done it in an incredibly organic way, in a way that I very much believe. You know, did you get that vibe with the Hangman character, Matt, as like his character kind of unfolded?
Yeah, like a little bit. I mean, he's a cowboy, man. Like,
yeah, no, but he's so like, doing yeah, that, he's the a flippy little bit more, stuff. You know, remember he used to do the backflips and all these things,
right? And he still did in this match. And like, yeah, if I had my ducats, I'd have him doing less of that, because I would just focus on more of that rough style. But I don't know. I don't even know if I believe that. I agree with that with myself as I'm saying it. But what I liked about you talking about, that's what Will said. Which, too, but all the way, by the way, huge shot. The individual, like, vignette videos.
Yeah.
They showed before cool. the match were excellent. Those were, I love it when they do that, as opposed to just like don't get me wrong. I love a good, like, recap setting you up. Those are great. But then when it's a big match, having each character get their own, like, here's what I'm fighting for kind of thing. I love it. So I thought that was really cool. But Will saying that puts over Hangman. If I can beat you, I know I can beat the big bad.
Yeah.
So that even if it went the other way, it puts over Hangman to continue whatever his story would have been. That said, I also liked, to the point you're making, though, Ospreay had moments of almost losing his shit. Yeah. And brawling and turning into a bit of a monster. I heard a lot of people saying, oh shit, New Japan Ospreay is back. Commonwealth Kingpin, the heel leader of United Empire, is back, as he was just pounding the crap out of Hangman's head. You know, it wasn't a clean, flipping, perfectly timed kick. It had everything.
Yeah.
This match had everything. It was a lot. It was a lot of shit, but it was exactly the kind of wrestling you come to AEW for. It was epic. I mean, there were crazy, wild, complicated spots, but they had the story. They had the shootout.
The shootout was amazing.
It was a lot of fun.
Dude, that moment with the hidden blade and the slingshot or buckshot lariat, that was awesome. Yep. Yeah. I loved that.
Stuff like that was cool. And like, they went hard, and it seems like nobody got hurt, which is amazing, considering how hard and how long they went.
I
remember at the night of, I couldn't even watch it, so I'm just like, I'm in my hotel, we just did a show, I'm like just refreshing Twitter to catch clips and gifs and stuff, and even in that I'm like, I was on the ride with them.
Yeah.
So then watching it, it's like, oh, it was really good. And I love this moment, you know, to all the people who are like, oh, they're doing the Cody shot with him. That's been done umpteen times.
Yeah, man.
Like, the guy who in defeat is just,
they literally did that with Cena.
But this wasn't about Ospreay. This moment was about Hangman, because Hangman, when he turned back in previous matches, it was to go back to do more damage.
Yeah.
Every time when he turned back against Christopher Daniels and that person screamed and then he decided not to go. And, you know, that was a moment of, do I want to go back and hurt him some more or do I feel bad about it?
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm conflicted. I'm going to leave. This is a Hangman who's not conflicted anymore.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He knows why he's fighting.
Yep.
He has purposefully targeted aggression now. It's not just, I'm going to hurt other people because I'm hurt. Hangman has changed and he's found purpose.
Yeah.
And he's evolving as a character. That's what this whole moment was about. And that's why I think it was so important for this to happen.
Yeah.
Because it shows a different Hangman going into All In.
It also shows how Hangman is now like the guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like the thing that we were hoping for and the thing that we always knew, but it's now just so much more reinforced here, is that Hangman Adam Page unequivocally is the guy. He is going to be the standard bearer of AEW. They tie everything to when he lost the championship. And I think it's really smart because when you think about it, and this might be a little too meta, but I do feel to a certain degree there is some semblance of truth to it. Is, you know, when you think back to like Hangman losing that belt to CM Punk, that really did start a really weird time period in AEW's history where they had a lot of like injuries and wonky and like a lot of inconsistencies. They didn't really have a good direction. There were a lot of things that were a bit all over the place. But this moment in this matchup to me really symbolized also just AEW really hitting a home run narratively. And creating such a great story. And this was something that AEW constantly got criticism for. They were constantly said that, hey, AEW doesn't do storylines. They don't do this stuff. AEW kind of tried to buck the trends in some respects. But I think what this event really, really brought home for me was that AEW has found its voice as a wrestling company. They have found their voice with storytelling, and this is like the vision. This is like when I thought about AEW years ago when they first came about, this is what I was hoping for. I was hoping for these big moments, for this tradition and history and all these different things to start to develop and really find its footing rather than it just being like indie company does high production wrestling, you know? This was AEW's best, hands down. And if this is AEW's best, then that makes me very excited for All In.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's like...
And this is an opportunity for Will.
For sure.
I mean, this Will, in many ways, in this matchup, not only... Of course, it's his own standalone character, but in a weird way, I might be reaching a little bit here, served as a bit of an avatar for the audience. It was... Of course, Will is the guy, right? Like, he is the de facto guy. Yeah. It was a matter of not if, but when. He will. That's the guy. You're going with him. And, of course, he 100% will at some point. And I give him big credit for a lot of the guys who came in with his reputation, especially into a company like AEW. I'm sure there were a lot of people who wanted even to push him to the title right away and everything. And I think he... purposely did not want to go down that route.
Yeah.
And he's continuing that. So like, I give credit to him as well, but as a character, I think it's like, hey, I said, I'm the best in the world. I declared it for everyone to see. I swore on it. I'm not. There's doubt, more doubt than there maybe ever has been before. And so it's time for him to go on a journey, which is cool. We love seeing our heroes. That's what Hangman's been doing. He's been struggling and everything. And now he's finally on his right path. Will is now starting his what do I do next kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love this for both of them.
Yeah. I agree. I'm so over the moon with how good. I knew this was going to be a good show going into it because they really did a lot of good builds before, like leading up to it, so you didn't feel like a lot of the card was just going to be good matches but not a lot of like things to back it up. But I really did feel like this AEW consistently puts on good pay-per-views, but this is like them putting on a good show and an overall good product. And now I'm super pumped for All In. Like I'm pumped for what we're going to have coming up, because we also got word that there's going to be Fyter Fest, which was the event that I first commentated. There's going to be a big match, like a four-way match at Fyter Fest for the International Championship. You know, we still think it's going to be Kenny Okada going into All In, but there's always possibility for some shenanigans. If you had to be a guessing man in this situation, you probably would say Claudio, probably Masca Dorada, just for the CMLL connection for Forbidden Door, and then probably Josh Alexander. You're definitely, Or actually, I could see Brody winning just to have an American in the match to be like international, you know? All right. Well, that, of course, takes us to the end of the show. And as a reminder, we want to let everyone know, if you made it this far, that starting next week, Rebooked is going to be one mega show where we're going to talk about AEW, TNA, and WWE. We're going to get the biggest topics, talk about the storylines, and keep you guys up to date on those big storylines. And, of course, if you want more information or have questions, you can join us on our Discord. Link is in the description down below. But as we do, it's the end of the episode, and that means it's time for our Rebooked 24/7 Champion of the Week. This, of course, is a segment where we talk about things in the world of professional wrestling that brought us joy, made us happy, things like that. Anyone want to start? Anyone want to go first? Share their thoughts.
I'll jump in.
Thought for your thoughts.
I was just gonna default and just be like, I loved Hangman and Ospreay so much that it's my 20. But we talked about that, so I'm gonna leave that. So I'll go with a silly one. This past weekend on Sunday, the night of Double or Nothing, I was taking part in a show that TNA was partnering with a company called Zonify, which is like a new streaming platform.
Okay.
For a show called Border Brawl, which was basically a super tongue-in-cheek show about Canadians versus Americans, tariffs and all, Donald Trump impersonators, etc. Mark Carney impersonators and the like. So I'm just going to give a shout out to Bagged Milk, which I didn't know was a thing, and that apparently was well known in Canada, and Tommy Dreamer used it in his hardcore match. And poured bagged milk all over Raj Singh. And why would you ever put milk in a bag?
It doesn't belong in a bag.
I'd rather have it in a box.
It's economically makes way more sense. It's easier to ship. It's a big thing in South America.
Easier than literal like cardboard carton?
It's cheaper.
I get the giant plastic jug, but a paper carton?
Bag.
I can ask my Peruvian wife who grew up with that, and she could explain the reasonings, but that is the reason.
Anyway, so shout out. Mine is
a bag. It's in a bag.
It's a sealed bag.
It's
though.
Like a square
it's like,
wheel.
A Ziploc of milk. I could really go for a Ziploc of milk right now.
It's not.
You people are insane.
You pour it into a thing at home and then you put it in the fridge.
I mean, here it's already in a thing. You're giving me more work to do.
This is why America is the position that it's in.
No, you're giving me more work
because we don't want bagged milk.
Because I don't want bagged milk.
Taking an extra step taking the extra step is such a difficult thing to do in this country. You take
what extra step.
You could put it into a thing and then you seal it and then you put it in and then you say it's good for the environment and stuff. You like
so milk in the morning. All the food that you buy at a grocery store, do you put it in new containers when you get home?
We do take out our chicken and rebag it so that we can, you know, like.
No. That's not what I asked. All of your products.
No.
Do you take them all out? Then shut the fuck up, Jimmy.
I don't do that because
milk in bags is insanity. I will draw a line in the sand.
That's fine.
At milk in bags. Give me a break.
You are entitled to your perspective.
My God.
It doesn't change the reality that.
You're putting more lettuce on my life sandwich, putting milk in bags.
Oh, well, I would like to go next for mine because and what's your Rebirth 24/7 champion bag milk? Was that, am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, it's kind of like my Rebirth 24/7 loser of the week because I'm very mad at
it. Okay. Like... Well, wow, that's aggressive. This one, though, I think we will be very, very excited about because, as you know, friend of the pod, Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed, you know, always does these ridiculous things. And this time around on Monday Night Raw, they did something that was freaking awesome because these guys came out dressed like El freaking Gigante himself.
Gigante!
They did that at Mania.
Yeah, I don't remember this one at Mania.
Yeah, they wore this one at Mania.
Oh, at this year's Mania? Okay, I didn't see them because it was so, I was far up, so it probably makes sense why I didn't get a good look at their outfit. This was awesome. And someone on Blue Sky messaged me, and then they were like, hey, GB, just so you know, I was thinking of you, and they came out dressed like El Gigante on Raw last night. So yeah, shout out. I want to give a shout out to the person who sent that to me as well. Shout out to Bad Wolf Bay 10 on Blue Sky. Appreciate you, bud. That was awesome. And really, really funny. And El Gigante. Only the real ones Fantastic. Understand. Jake, do you have one? Or are you? Is it your campaign against bag milk?
My 24/7 champion this week, I didn't really have one, but I think I do now. I'm going to go with Walter R. Bard. You can give him a Google if you like, but Walter R. Bard is the artist, designer, and inventor of the plastic milk jug, and he is my 24/7 champion of the week.
My ass is
Walter R. Bard.
I'm on a website that's called Farm Tank or the Van Trump Report. Good Lord, where am I? A brief history of milk cartons.
So, hey,
the comments say, "What about flat top cartons with the corner lid folded back to pour out and then push back in to seal it?"
Oh, like the old school. Yeah, like the old school cardboard.
These are called gable top cartons. Gable top cartons.
Gable top.
That's right. So, of course, Chad Gable's family.
Now I want to make a milk themed board game called a gable top game.
Was there ever a clay milk bottle?
Terrible.
I found one and I have no idea if it's authentic or reproduction or reproduction home decoration. Yeah, there you go. We learned something new today, Jake. I don't.
Canadians and South Americans are insane.
You not like know where you live?
Insane. Insane.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. Let us know
what you think. Matt and I love the jugs. Okay. We're not going to apologize big jug guys. This is all a ruse by Big Bag, who's trying to sell you.
Just the corporate overlords of a big bag
are trying to sell you milk in a container it has no business being in.
We thank everyone for tuning in to Rebook this week. We hope that you enjoyed it. Just a reminder, Rebook will be a mega show starting next Wednesday. Where you can hear Jake ramble some more about milk cartons. Let us know about milk cartons.
I don't want to, but I will stand up for it if I have to.
Yeah. Who would you pick in the feud? You know, and actually, let's do it like this. You know, because famously there was a matchup between Vince McMahon and Donald Trump, but because there were two old, feeble, weak men, they couldn't wrestle in the match. So instead, they had two stronger men fight for them, which was Bobby Lashley and Umaga. And I would like to think if you had to pick a wrestler to represent the carton of milk and a wrestler to represent the bag milk, who would it be and who would you put over? Sound off in the comment section down below.
Chad Gable and Penta. I mean, that feels like the answer now.
You son of a bitch.
Put a milk jug down in the... I don't even know if that's a...
Yeah.
Is that an emoji?
Put a milk jug down in the comments.
Put some cows in the description and in the comments
just
down
say,
below.
Just say jug it or bag it. That's how we'll know. Jug it or bag it.
Oh, man. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you for our TNA show and, of course, our WWE show on Friday. Peace. Have a good one. Later.